My next guest has written a piece in the Tyee at thetyee.ca saying the BC Hydro's ratepayers, customers, face a future of massive rate increases to guarantee inflated profits from cozy deals with private companies. He calls it an extraordinary betrayal of the Crown Corporation's original role of bringing electricity and opportunity to British Columbians. Joining me on the line is Norm Farrell. He's publisher of insights.ca, a site for opinions and commentary. He's a retired small business accountant and native Vancouver. He's been blogging about public affairs on insights.ca since 2009. Norm, good morning.
Hi, John. Good morning to you.
An extraordinary betrayal of BC Hydro's original role. In what sense?
Well, I have been writing about BC Hydro for some time, and I've been particularly bothered by the trends that have been established now for a decade, and that's to, even though there's no increase in domestic consumption of electricity, there's a rapid increase of private power, and there's addition of other generating capacity within the system. And BC Hydro in 2005 sold actually more power to its residential, commercial, and industrial users than it did in 2016. And yet the assets employed to do that were $12 billion in 2005, and they're now over $30 billion, and they're on the way to $45 billion. And there's no need to increase capacity to a substantial degree because conservation has not been fully employed in the province. As a matter of fact, in the past year, BC Hydro has more or less defunded the conservation programs that it had. Now, I have all of these sort of current concerns, and I decided that I ought to look more at the historical elements of BC Hydro and to see how the company has evolved over time. And I frankly entered the research phase without having as much regard for W.A.C. Bennett as I now have.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, throughout his career, he was an endless user of anti-socialist rhetoric, but in fact, he was a proponent of the mixed economy, and he created BC Hydro back in 1962 because private enterprise was simply not getting the job done that was needed. It was the largest utility, it was BC Electric, and it was interested in serving the profitable urban markets and rather little interested in going elsewhere. And yet, throughout BC, electricity users were dependent on municipal systems or cooperative utilities or even self-generators by industries and company towns and so on. And smaller communities would depend on diesel power generators and so on. Bennett knew that industrial development, job creation, depended on having reliable and low-cost power. And so he came to the conclusion that the public utility was best equipped to do that because it could borrow at the cheapest rates and wouldn't be taxed by the federal government, which was always a major issue for him, or be bound by the need to maximize profits instead of improving services. So under Bennett, the BC Hydro proceeded with major generating projects on the two rivers, the Columbia and the Peace, and they now provide, I think, 85% of the power in the province. And because of his style of administration, he was an old small-town merchant, and he was interested in careful control and frugal operations, so he ensured that BC Hydro spent the money very carefully. He faced tremendous opposition from the business elites, and particularly in the financial services and so on. BC Hydro was not popular with consumers, but it was certainly had been a good investment vehicle for a number of people. A large number of them were resident in the UK. Anyways, Bennett managed over the course of many years to build BC Hydro into an organization that was financially strong and it was technically competent as well. But to my way of thinking, that's what attracted the attention of the, I refer to them as grifters, the people who wanted to convert that strength, financial strength, of BC. I think that they didn't end up privatizing the assets and liabilities of BC Hydro, but they have privatized much of the profit.
Now you, and that's a good summary of kind of what's brought us up to, let's say, the mid 1990s, late 1990s, and especially since the Liberals have been in power, because a lot of those benchmarks, a lot of those hallmarks of what BC Hydro was about have gone away.
Right. In 2001 and 2002, BC Hydro sold into the U.S. something like $12 billion worth of power. And that particularly got some of the private enterprisers really excited about the possibilities for profits. And that pushed the Liberal government of the day to come up with this new plan for selling, for allowing power to be created by private producers and sold by private producers. To do that, they spun off the BC Transmission Corporation so that private and public producers would have equal access to the high voltage lines to deliver power out to customers. However, all of the big sales to California and Western U.S. were dependent on fixed markets. Enron executives mm-hmm. went to jail and so on.
Yeah.
And so that we know that the prices were just totally unreasonable.
Norm, let me jump in there. We'll pause and come back and pick this up and talk about where BC Hydro is right now, where it is today, and why, according to Norm and, frankly, a lot of other people, they think that customers of the future are going to face massive, massive rate increases. We'll get into that next. Back to Norm Farrell now. He is on the line with us talking about an article that he's written for the TAIE.ca dealing with BC Hydro. Norm, in the interests of time, let's jump to where Hydro is today and the amount of debt they've taken on and why you think that the ratepayer is in for some rude shocks in the years to come.
Well, in my view, they've been using trick accounting to avoid declaring what the results have actually been. They've gone through a program of aggressive capitalization of operating expenses and deferring expenses into future times. They've now got over $6 billion of deferrals that have to be written off in the future. Now, deferrals make some sense in public utilities as short-term rate smoothers, but they don't make any sense at all over the long term. And yet that's what BC Hydro has done. We used to go up, we used to go down in terms of deferral accounts.
Mm-hmm. Now they just go up.
That's right, and they go up at a rapid rate.
Now you've also got a chart that explains the independent power that BC Hydro is contracted to buy, and why those numbers are so highly out of whack as compared to what power is actually selling for.
That's right. BC Hydro sells its surplus power into markets in the northwest of the U.S. and Western Canada, of course. They deliver power to Alberta at times. And they've been getting basically about 3 cents a kilowatt hour for that time, for that power, over a period of more than a decade. So that's a fairly firmly established market price. They've been paying increasing amounts to private producers, and that in the last quarter that's been reported, it was 9.1 cents per kilowatt hour, which is three times what it's selling surplus power for. And again, as I said, that they haven't increased the consumption within BC, but they've increased the purchases of private power by over 100% in the last decade.
And really, a lot of this has to do with the demand forecasts that Hydro comes up with. They have not been close to the truth in terms of how much power is being used. And we're building the Site C Dam. A lot of people curious about just where all that power is going to go. Norm, I appreciate you coming on the line. Thank you so much. And You can go to Norm's site, which is insights.ca, and a site for opinion and commentary. You can also check out his latest piece in the Tyee at thetyee.ca, and it's in the opinions column. I think you will be very, very well served by what Norm Farrell has to say on BC Hydro. Major News to 8 is next.